to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. So if you live in Ann Arbor or went to school there or are a visitor there frequently, you certainly know about Zingerman's, the deli just outside of downtown that attracts so many people all of the time for its great sandwiches and salads and all the other wonderful food that they make there. But not everybody knows that Zingerman's has kind of expanded its footprint and influence far beyond that restaurant itself. It's become a mega business, really, and a cultural force, building a global food community out of that small restaurant. It operates a dozen businesses, including a large mail order operation, a bakery, restaurants, and more. It has become nothing short of an icon here in Southeast Michigan. And again, if you ever go to Ann Arbor, or if you live there or go to school there, certainly you are familiar with the long lines waiting to get inside. Zingerman's is now 40 years old. And on the show, we've decided to do something we rarely do, which is talk about how a specific business did so well for so long and grew into such a phenomenon. How did Zingerman's build an interesting and collaborative culture and spread its influence globally, much further, that is, than anyone probably ever anticipated? There are other broader questions, too. How did businesses make it through after the COVID pandemic actually hit and absolutely changed the way that we do all kinds of things? What allowed them to persevere when money was tight and people were stuck in their homes? What was in the secret sauce for those who came out of the pandemic really strong? A new book called Satisfaction Guaranteed by Mickey Maynard explores the ins and outs of Zingerman's, and we've got her here with us on the show today to talk about it. Mickey, welcome back to Detroit
today. Hi, Stephen.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Great to be with you. Yeah. Thank you.
So, as I said, Zingerman's started out as a pretty small business, just a deli on a corner in Ann Arbor. I can remember as a student in the late 1980s and early 90s in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan that it was a pretty small place. I mean, it was a wonderful place and had great food. It was not the enterprise that it is today. So let's talk about how it started out small and grew to be such a huge success.
Sure. So the two co-founders of Zingerman's are Ari Weinzweig, who people probably recognize from going in the deli, going in the other businesses in Ann Arbor, and Paul Saginaw, who actually is from Detroit. Ari grew up in Chicago, and they met in Ann Arbor. They were not college roommates, but Paul was managing a restaurant, and Ari applied for a job. And as they got to know each other, they both agreed that Ann Arbor could support a Jewish deli. Now, Detroit had Jewish delis. When we were kids, we would come downtown to Hudson's, and the Broadway deli was behind Hudson's, and we would take home a bag of bagels or some, you know, some things to eat. And then, obviously, there's delis in the northern suburbs. But Ann Arbor really didn't have one. We had the Blue Front, where actually bagels were trucked in from Detroit once a week. But if you wanted anything like corned beef or pastrami, you kind of had to get it at the grocery store. So they figured that the university had a sizable Jewish population of students. There was a Jewish community in Ann Arbor, and they thought people would appreciate really good quality Jewish food. So the two of them, with a legacy from Ari's grandmother and a second mortgage on Paul's house, got together in 1982 and took over a little brick building and opened Zingerman's Deli. And that's kind of the founding of it, this belief that the community would support a Jewish deli.
Yeah. And of course, today it is many more things than just that small Jewish deli. How do they grow into what Zingerman's is? And was there a plan, I suppose, to become this kind of global food community that it is today?
There was never a plan at the beginning for that. And I don't know if people know the name Cy Ginsberg, but Cy Ginsberg, who's known for his corned beef, his deli, his activities at Eastern Market, he was one of the advisors to Ari and Paul. And so he helped them learn how to make corned beef. And then everybody at Zingerman's was driving to Royal Oak to get bread. And they realized that, you know, we can't do this on a sustainable basis. We need to think about baking our own bread. And that was the first business that they opened beyond the deli, was what's called the bakehouse, because, you know, they're making multiple trips a day to get rye bread. And they thought, let's make it ourselves. And then another thing that they needed was cream cheese. And they decided, instead of getting commercial cream cheese, which has a lot of stuff in it, why don't we make our own cream cheese? And it was a little bit of, what do we need to make? Let's make it ourselves. You know, coffee, there's the Zingerman's Coffee Company. There's a Zingerman's Candy Company. You know, if somebody had an idea and they could come up with a business plan, they would support that idea. But that stuff didn't take off until about the time you were in Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. It was right around 1992 when they started thinking, we can be more than just the deli. But it took them a couple of years to decide, this is the direction we want to go, because Ari was actually pretty happy with what was going on. And I think Paul was itching to grow because people were copying Zingerman's. And he thought that, you know, if we let people copy us, it's not going to be us anymore. And we need to take control of that.
Hmm. I also have come to really believe that there is a sort of cultural imperative that drives the decision making and the operations at Zingerman's, and that it's different from what you find in other businesses. I mean, there are lots of successful businesses in the world, but there is something about the way the people at Zingerman's who run it, who work there, who are part of that entire enterprise, interact with each other and interact with the businesses that looks different, at least from the outside, than other places. Can you talk about how important that culture and that cultural force is to the success there?
Yeah, well, I think one of the most important aspects of Zingerman's has been, you know, we call it employee involvement, but they didn't treat their employees just as people to come in and write up your order and leave at the end of a shift. They wanted to offer opportunities for people to gain education. One of the reasons for that is that both Paul and Ari are just voracious readers. And Paul read a lot of business books, and they would pass them back and forth and say, can we borrow this idea? Can we borrow that idea? And it was very interesting because some of the ideas that they borrowed were from Toyota, which I recognize because I covered the auto industry for a long time, but people might not necessarily see this. And, you know, one of them is continuous improvement, which is something that Toyota does. Another is getting input from employees. So if you go to a Toyota factory, at the end of every shift, they have a 10-minute period where people can say, you know, this went wrong today, this went right today, I would tell the next shift to do X. And they adapted some of those ideas so that it wasn't just a, you know, you come in and you leave. It's you come in and we value what you have to offer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Mickey Maynard. She's a contributing columnist for The Washington Post and author of Satisfaction Guaranteed, How Zingerman's Built a Corner Deli into a Global Food Community. We're talking about Zingerman's, a really popular deli in Ann Arbor, and its success over that 40 years, how it grew from being just a deli to being this global food community with a lot of tentacles and influence all over the place. We want to hear from you during the conversation as always. Call and tell us what you think about Zingerman's. Is it a place that you're familiar with? Why do you think it's so popular? People who live in Ann Arbor or go to school there or just visit, I'll say it's one of the places you've got to stop. What do you think makes it a staple restaurant here in Michigan? And also give us a sense what you think about businesses and restaurants in general, how they grow to this kind of success, and also how they have been able to weather the incredible storm of the COVID-19 pandemic. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. Mickey, I do want to talk about the pandemic and the effect it had on Zingerman's and how it comes out the other side. That's something that I think other businesses obviously could take a page from as well.
Yeah, I feel really lucky that I had kind of a front row seat on how Zingerman's got through it, because literally the day that we met with Zingerman's, my editor at Scribner's, my agent, myself, to talk about cooperating for the book was March 16th, 2020, which was the day that Governor Whitmer announced the stay-at-home order for the state. And immediately, Ari Weinzweig had to lay off 300 people. Mm-hmm. And over the next weeks and months, it really turned on the jets in order to save the individual businesses. Because one thing that they found out was that they had some very strong businesses, like mail order was exceptionally strong. And I would argue that mail order saved them during the pandemic. They had the bakehouse, because the bakehouse did a lot of wholesale business, coffee. They had the deli, you know, which was obviously famous, and the Roadhouse, which is their sit-down restaurant. But then they had these smaller companies. And for example, Zing Train, their training program, had to like shut down. And that had been a $2 million a year source of revenue for them. And they had to pivot over to online training. Mm. So I think one of the hallmarks of how they got through it was, instead of being super deliberative and taking their time and all that, they empowered all the businesses to come up with ideas that they thought would help. You know, so the Roadhouse put picnic tables out in front. If you couldn't go inside and eat, you could still get carryout food and sit there and eat it. And the deli had only done about 8% of their business by people calling in their orders, but then they switched over to something that's probably familiar to people, this online ordering. And now it's something like 80% of their orders for sandwiches are placed in advance. They were allowed to stay open as a grocery store pretty early. The bakehouse was allowed to stay open. So all the businesses that could be open were coming up with ideas to help people get people in. But as I was saying, mail order was really the secret. And mail order is about 45%, almost half of their business. Hmm. And over the early months of the pandemic, people wanted bread. They wanted chocolate. You know, they wanted coffee cake and fish. And mail order was able to sell things to people that they weren't able to find in other places.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Call and tell us what you think of Zingerman's, the deli in Ann Arbor, and the business it has grown into. Also, give me a sense of what your favorite sandwich at Zingerman's might be a little later. I'm going to talk about what mine is, and I'm going to ask Mickey what hers is as well. Mickey, I do want to talk about sandwiches and what your favorite is, and then I'll tell you what mine is. And I think that's one of the things that binds us kind of all together around Zingerman's, is that everybody does have a favorite.
So my favorite is actually a salad. You're going to laugh. I like what's called the Z Cobb salad, and that's a play on words, because Z Cobb, Zingerman's Community of Businesses, is what they call the umbrella over the businesses, but obviously it's a Zingerman's Cobb salad. Mm-hmm. And I would say I ate that salad every 2 weeks for a while during the pandemic, because it's a nice, big, hearty salad, and you can get a couple of meals out of it. And then they always give you bread to go with the salad. So I have to tell you, you know, we loved having Zingerman's delivered, and to see someone coming up the front steps with that yellow bag of food, I mean, there's just something reassuring about it. So I want to hear what your favorite sandwich is.
So my favorite sandwich is the sandwich that I started eating when I was a first-year student at the university back in 1988. It was the number 21 Freiburg's Feast. Back then, it was applewood smoked bacon and gouda with lettuce and tomato and mayo on, I think it was on challah bread, but there was a specific kind of bread, and I won't remember what it is. But it left the menu after about 5 or 6 years, and I loved that I could still go to Zingerman's and order that sandwich and tell them that number, and they would still make it for me, even sure. even after yeah. it was gone off the menu. And now, of course, it is back. It's back on the menu, and it's still the same number, but it's got a couple different ingredients on it. But I've been consistent about that now for, well, I guess.
Oh yeah, and
years.
You know, one of the things that I think distressed a lot of people during the pandemic and with the supply chain issues is that some of people's favorites have had to disappear from the menu. I mean, for a while they didn't have whitefish salad, and for a while roast beef disappeared. But I think they're trying their best to get the menu back to what people have memorized, yeah. essentially. So folks like you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Mickey Maynard, great job on the book about Zingerman's, and thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Great, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the political side of things and talk about the issues and focus of the Republican Party in our state as we get closer to the November elections. We're going to talk about the rightward turn that the party has taken and whether that threatens its relevancy in critical elections like these midterms. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.